All right. I'd like to welcome everybody to the November 30th, 2017 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Thank you, Mrs. McGlynn, for hosting our meeting. And could I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Now, if everyone will stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Looking for the flag, and it's right back here. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First up, I'll accept a motion to adopt our agenda.
So moved.
Have a second?
Second.
Okay. For discussion, I would like to motion that we amend the agenda to include an executive session at the end for the purpose of ORC 121.22G1, consideration of the compensation of a public employee. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. So now we have a motion and a second to amend the agenda. Can I have a roll call, please?
I'm sorry, so for that one...
I made the motion to amend it, and Mrs. Powers seconded.
Okay. Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. So now we will vote on the amended agenda, which includes the executive session at the end of our meeting. And that motion to... That was made by Mr. Smith, I think, the motion to adopt the agenda. Okay, yes. So we'll take a roll call on that now.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. All right. Next up, we have our presentation from Mill Valley. And do we start with the...
She knows.
Okay, yeah. We can start that. Okay.
Okay, good evening, everyone. My name is Amy McGlynn. I'm the principal at Mill Valley Elementary, so welcome. First on the agenda, I would like to welcome up the policemen here from the Marysville Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just wanted to shake their hands. So part of my presentation is to recognize our community partnership that we have at Mill Valley Elementary with the Marysville Police Department. Just to give you a little background for what they do here at Mill Valley, every Tuesday for the last two school years, they come and have breakfast with the students. It started out with a group of five, but it's pretty much developed into the entire breakfast area, which is fine. Their group of five still sits close with them, but everyone and whoever sits with them. There's a couple pictures up there and shows it's pretty exciting. You know, they now also eat breakfast. My husband's excited because he gets to have Lucky Charms there and not at home. But the other thing that, you know, we partner with them for the United Way campaign coming up. We have three different things that they do. A student and I are going to ride to school in the back of a police car. Pretty big excitement for who wins that. The officers come and have a pizza party with the top class that raised money for the United Way campaign. And then the top grade level gets a special visit from Bear, the police dog with Officer Mist. And recently the Fraternal Order of Police is going to be donating some money for shoes to be purchased for students who need shoes. So we appreciate that donation. So I just wanted to present this to the three of you.
Josh
and the three of you. But for me, I really appreciate you guys coming each week. You know how much the kids love it. And if you know, they look forward and run in on Tuesdays.
It's the highlight of my week, too.
It is the highlight. Mm-hmm. You've always said that, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No problem. It's
seat.
Thank you, Officer.
Thank you,
Officer Dillon.
Thank you,
Officer
Dillon.
Thank you, Officer
Dillon.
Thank you, Officer Dillon.
Thank you,
Officer Dillon.
Thank you,
Officer Dillon.
Thank you,
Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you,
Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. Thank you, Officer Dillon. With not only your building, but just with the school district as a whole. And we just can't thank you all enough for the passion that you bring to what you're doing. And it means so much to our kids and our staff and the school board. So.
And I'm sorry I didn't recognize. That's Officer Petzinger. He is stationed at the Marysville High School. Officer Dillahunt, he's at Bunsville Middle School. And Sergeant McGlenn, who oversees really all the schools and the community liaison officer. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Continuing on with the presentation, really quick, just wanted to give you an overview of some of the things we're doing at Mill Valley. So at Marysville Schools, obviously, it isn't a secret. We have our personalized learning focuses, and part of Mill Valley's initiatives for this year are to work on four different things here. Let me just explain a little bit as to what these are. Personal learner profiles are a one-on-one interview or different ways that teachers access personal information about the students to get to know them better. So to not only develop relationships with them, but to also see how they learn best, and then to help them understand how they learn best so that they can become independent with that. Universal design for learning is basically how we teach every day, but just to help kids how they access and engage in the information and have voice with how they do that. Habits of mind are something that we have. If you walk out tonight, you'll see trees that are on the wall. The students and staff develop characteristics of what they thought were the importance of learning at Mill Valley, and it's how they meet daily, innovate, collaborate, inspire, which is our district and school mission. And then the Growth Mindset Foundation, basically just having a mindset that they can do anything that they put their heart and mind into. So moving forward in professional development, and my instructional coach is over there, we knew that student voice was a big piece of something that we had to hit hard. So my presentation tonight is kind of to show you some of the data that showed that that had to be a focus, and then some of the ways of how we did it and some evidence to show that it's moving forward. So student voice is the road to change, and obviously choice. So let me show you here. If you're not familiar with what these are, student voice is when students' personal experiences, perspectives, and learning preferences and interests are encouraged and valued. So they have ownership with their learning. And then choice is what they choose to go about and show the teacher how they meet that standard. So it's no longer the traditional worksheet that you pass out to show what you know. It's you having options and choosing what you want to tell the teacher how you learn that. And I'll show you an example here in a little bit. The importance of voice is for students to say what matters and how they learn, because they are motivated and passionate. The more that they have to say, the more engaged they are, and the more results that they have in the end. So I knew that to get the biggest shift here, we wanted our students to have opportunities to problem solve, have leadership opportunities, and to think creatively moving forward. So I didn't just want to go out on a hunch and say, well, how and why? We had data here that showed that I needed to have this as a focus here. So the first thing is, it's Bray and McCloskey, and in case you're wondering, they're two researchers for personalized learning that are, they've written books, and they're researchers that I read and often follow in social media because they're the experts. They have a tool where you basically reflect about your staff and your building as principal and think about why are they having a hard time shifting with their teaching. So basically, I looked at characteristics and stages of each staff member, and with my coach, we sat down and talked about what are the things that we need to do to support them. So those are some of the examples here. For example, some teachers weren't shifting, not because they didn't want to, but because they were already having good results, and so they thought, will this change the good results I'm already having? So it was a valid point and something that we needed to address with them. The next piece was at the beginning of the year, I gave every teacher a self-assessment in addition to their teacher OTES evaluation self-assessment. And this was for them to see and reflect what they did with personalized learning at Mill Valley last year, and then how they were going to deepen their practice with that this year. So this is just an example of someone that I took from third grade, and they had the chance to share. And through these, student voice and choice came up often when we tracked and read all of them. So that was another data piece. The next one is the HOPE survey. So in our district, the district takes the HOPE survey in the fall, grades 3 through 12, and again in the spring. And there are different pieces about the HOPE survey, but it showed that there were a few that were lacking, and it was new for third grade this year, the HOPE survey. Fourth grade has always taken it. But it said, does the teacher know about my interests? It showed a low percentage. I can find lots of ways around any problem in this class. I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day. So these questions reflected that student interest voice were not being heard. And then as administrators, we have developed a walkthrough tool that we call the snapshot tool that we use when we go visit classrooms to kind of observe the personalized learning opportunities that are happening. And I just had some results with our instructional coach that showed again that it was sticking out. So I had the data. We knew we had to plan our professional development around student voice. So we had to develop an action plan. Well, how are we going to get this in the classrooms? So one example really quick, I'll show you. Each week I send home, or send to staff, excuse me, a weekly memo. So this is just an example of one. It gives just some research, a thought of the week, resources of the week with videos and quotes. So every week since September, I've made my focus be about voice and choice. So there's just one simple example. Easy. I try to send it really early on a Sunday so they have the time on the weekend on their couch to look at it. Another example is we use Google Drive in the district. So I created a shared Google resource folder that have each one of the pillars, so voice and choice articles and research for them to be able to reference, which they can also share to, and Mrs. Savage can also upload to. Weekly TBTs. TBT stands for teacher-based teams. It's something that we meet weekly to discuss either data or standards, and there, it's actually just coming out naturally through data and through conversation. So I don't go to each grade level's weekly meeting, but when I'm not there, they submit a Google form that comes to my email. So this is an example of one, and you can see they typed in how voice and choice would pop up and mastery learning. So it's happening in their conversations. In my post-conference, so OTES is the system we use to evaluate teachers. I'm making sure that my conversations with teachers are centered around those things that I need to see improvements with voice and choice. So the things that I'm reinforcing, the things that I'm seeing, and I'm having them reflect and refine on areas for improvement. Growth plans, another part of OTES. This is a copy that I asked a teacher if I could borrow. He had a goal for himself that he wanted to allow for more voice in his classroom, and talked about how he was going to do that, and then how he was going to have evidence in his for me at the end when we evaluate. And then me as principal, I have to model best practice. So the staff came to me and said that the kids at dismissal were running and a problem. So basically I put the problem in the students' hands, and we had groups, and they came up with a solution. And every day at Mill Valley, you will see kids with emojis. And emojis mean walk, don't run. First, it was a little scary because they would just wave them and kids were like walking because they didn't know what they were. But now they know. And they rate every day how well the kids do with walking and understanding. And if it's a low score, 4, 3, 2, 1, then we have to reassess and change. So far, we're doing pretty good.
Well, all this is great, but I want to make sure it's put into practice with the classroom. So, let me show you a real quick video. This is a first grade classroom. Remember I told you about how things are changing? This is students showing mastery to time, to the hour and the half hour. And they got to choose the way in which they wanted to show their teacher how they learned it. Hold on. Sorry about that. So that was what they said they wanted to do. They wanted to do, I'll explain to you. So this group wanted to play a clock game to show the teacher that they knew. These girls wanted to perform a rap song, so they were listening to dance and rap. I sang that song for like a week after I learned it. Now I will another week. No. These two girls wanted to play teacher, so they played school and pretended. They wanted to do a stamp book, so they had the clock stamps. And what the teachers did during this time is they went around with a rubric and met with each group, and anyone who didn't show mastery, here they're making clocks with a paper plate. Anyone that didn't show mastery, they intervened right away and
girls,
worked with
how did
them.
You decide you wanted to show Mrs. Kinsinger that you knew this standard? What are you making?
I put
2, 3, 30, 1, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Why did you want to choose a stamp?
That means it's easier than drawing it.
It's easier than drawing a clock. Do you like using stamps too?
And I know how to use stamps.
Good. It looks beautiful.
So you can see that's a little different than just giving them a test for how to show clocks. Here's another example, a different first grade classroom. They wanted to have live body telling times and had voice about how they did that. In a fourth grade classroom, they read the book, The Fabled Fourth Grade of Aesop Elementary School, and they basically did the moral of each chapter, and then on their own, chose how they got to explain the meaning. So this little girl had slow and steady wins the race, and she was talking about her struggling with learning origami and was teaching that to the class. This is just an example of how it's happening in lesson plans and in newsletters to parents at the bottom. This was a third grade newsletter sample and a lesson in a reading intervention, third grade lesson. First grade, again, retelling with writing. Basically, the students got to retell and then have voice for how they did that. More options, just like the math class. Fourth grade, they acted out and drew comic books to explain their understanding with the First Amendment. That was interesting. I learned about the First Amendment more that way. Second grade, they created odd and even streets to learn odd and even numbers. Some hands-on inquiry there. And then this is just a piece to show you how with that odds and even street, they had data to show. So this column right here shows their pretest, and you can see the red and the yellow. And this shows the post-test and just shows that through voice and more hands-on, they had such success with their post scores. This was in 2 weeks. This is math stations. So these four right here, our standards, and then down here the students get to choose which ones they want to do based on their preference. And then here's just one other example. The staff now, Mrs. Savage and I are giving over, the staff is presenting best practice in their rooms to the staff because they want to see the real examples.
It really turns the role around for us as a teacher, where we want to be like the giver.
that was just a simple example of how they were taking over the staff meeting. And really, that's it. I just wanted to show some examples of how we're making shifts, you know, with student voice, and they're impacting all of the pillars of personalized learning.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Questions, anyone?
Yeah. How do you feel that the staff is responding?
I mean, first of all, linking the data to it definitely shows, like, you can't, you know, the data doesn't lie. So it's showing that when the kids are more engaged and have more hands-on, they're showing the results more. And so when kids have voice, we're noticing that because they're having so much motivation, they're eager to learn more. And so the staff is very much at Mill Valley receptive of, you know, the whole philosophy and everything that encompasses it, because, you know, it's what's best for kids. And they know that basically moving forward, that's just what we need to do to get where we, you know, where we need to go. So.
Thank you.
What would you say some of the biggest challenges have been through this change?
I would say time. I know that's an answer that everyone usually says, but I think, you know, we would love to have, you know, some time to do. I would love for teachers to be able to observe each other more.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to, we're making a plan to devise that.
Right.
That snapshot walkthrough tool that I was referencing, we're doing some professional development in December to have them be able to do that to their peers, their colleagues, versus just us using it so that they can learn from that. So I would say time with that. The other piece just being, you know, having everyone see, and it's really just being able to see in everyone's rooms how they're all so different at different grade levels.
Mm-hmm.
So really, probably goes back to the time thing again, having them be able to visualize, get to see what I see throughout the building. So
I know that in this building and in other buildings, the seating, kids have
flexible
some
seating
options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with how they sit. Have you seen, or do you think there's an impact on the students and their behavior? Because one of the questions I typically ask is you know, with more activities going on in the classroom, is the student's behavior better or worse?
Right. Mm-hmm. So with flexible seating, I've noticed that if it's taught the right way and it's used for independent work time, that's its intent. It's not just to sit and listen to the teacher and sit on a bouncy stool. The purpose is so that the child can recognize that I have the need to be able to move while working, or I have the need to go to a quiet place because over here it's too noisy. So if you jump right in and just start with everything, it's not that there's always a problem, but it needs to be taught that the purpose behind it is to help you as a learner versus let's just have fun with all different kinds of seats. And so I think we've mastered that now. I'm not going to lie, the first year there were problems with that, but I think it was a learning curve for us. So we would reflect and have, you know, what worked well for you, what didn't work. So there's really very, in fact, students that work with flexible seating, I noticed that the behaviors and the distractions are less because they recognize that they need to separate, that they need to stand while working, like little things like that. So,
well, that seems to be from what I'm hearing as we go to the different buildings and so forth, seems to be a pretty common situation. And it's nice that kids have an option to put themselves in the best learning position, best learning situation that they can be in. So, thank you very much.
I feel like I'm the literacy instructional coach at Mill Valley, but I also feel like the more that the students learn about themselves as they work through those personal learner profiles, they're thinking about who they are as a learner. They're thinking about who they are as a person, and so they're able to make better choices when it comes to flexible seating time. Like, I know I work best when I'm working by myself in a quiet spot, or I know I work best when I'm working with other students. And then when teachers know that, it just opens up the opportunity for those experiences to be successful, I think. You know, so it's not like, oh, they're just picking wherever they want to sit because it's fun and, you know, that's what they want to do. It's because we have the information that we know our students, they know themselves, and together we're making choices that's going to benefit them in the best way that they're going to learn. Right. So it's pretty exciting.
And there are some that still pick traditional. I mean, there are still some seats in the rooms.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amy. Okay. Next up, we have public participation, and we do have one person on there, and so we'll just ask you to introduce yourself and then proceed with your 3-minute comments.
Okay. My name's Les Hull, H-U-L-L. I'm a retired school teacher. I come down from Fremont, Ohio, and moved here in June, and absolutely love this town. When I retired in 2001, I decided, well, let me try substitute teaching. It is something that I know. So up in Sandusky County, 90 miles north of here, I subbed for the last 14 or 15 years, 3, 4, 5 days a week. We moved to Marysville, Mary and I did, bought a home here. And throughout the summer, I would run into students here and there, and maybe a teacher or two somewhere in town because they had a shirt on. I would chat. And decided I wanted to maybe substitute at Marysville Schools. I've only ever substituted 7 and above, and I've never been in this building. I'm here primarily on behalf of all substitutes in Marysville Schools, because the last couple of months, and I'm subbing 4 and 5 days a weekend, early college, high school, a ton, once in a while, months old. But on behalf of all substitute teachers, I made it only upon myself to come to this board meeting and speak about how possible. The Board of Education thinking about raising the pay from $90 a day to whatever, to at least consider and observe that. Because what I'm hearing from other substitutes is a couple of things. One, if they have a choice, and I don't even give myself a choice. I'm only Marysville. I'm not driving. But North Union, north of here, Bell Fountain, west of here, and Fairbanks, south here. I'm not exactly sure how much they pay, but I know they pay more than 90 a day. I've heard figures of 115, 105, so on and so forth. And a lot of substitutes have told me if that's a difference in their choice, they will take the more money. I don't need that little bit of more money. So you may want to take that into consideration. I know there's a shortage of subs here in the school system. Anybody will tell you that. Every school, the secretaries and principals, wow, thanks for coming in. You know, can you cover this class? We're short one sub, but take subs and cover, and we do it. I don't know how long it's been $90 a day. That could be researched. I haven't done that. But at least considered for certified substitute teachers. The possibility of sometime, fairly soon, some kind of increment upping. Any questions?
I mean, I know Diane will look into that for us and kind of update us with the information and the history behind that. So,
okay.
And then we have your contact information as well.
Yeah, I'll follow back up with you too. If that's okay.
That's great. I really appreciate it.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, you got to go.
And thanks for subbing.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. I have a lot, this is my 46th year of being a teacher. A lot of them are subbing. People say, why do you still do this at your age? It's because I enjoy it. This first time I don't enjoy it, I'm not doing it anymore. And I want to tell you that this Marysville school system, at least the 3 buildings I go to almost on a daily basis, they're wonderful. The students make me go back. I go home and say, Mary, it was a wonderful day. The kids respect me. They treat me very nice. I have had no problems here. It's amazing. Your school system, and I've been in a lot, is a good one. It's because of people like you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
No more. That's it.
Yep.
Okay, next up we have the Ohio High Point Report, and tonight we're happy to welcome Dr. Rick Smith, the superintendent at High Point, as well as our board rep, Mr. Chippington.
Let me start by thanking the Board of Education for letting me come here and talk to you this evening, as well as just my appreciation of the partnership that we have with Marysville mm-hmm. School. I echo the last person's remarks as far as the great school district that you have here. We have wonderful partnerships, whether it's the early college, at the high school, Bunsell Middle School, mm-hmm. and you send me a great rep. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chippington is outstanding on our board and being involved in the career technical education things that we're trying to accomplish. We both have the same mission in trying to get kids ready for the 21st century and that career readiness, and whether that's going right to a job, which there's plenty of employers who want to take them right out of high school right mm-hmm. now today, or maybe it might be 8-10 years of schooling required to get to that where mm-hmm. that kid is passionate and what career they want to accomplish. And so based on that, the last couple of years, we've been evaluating the job needs and things that are taking place within our surrounding communities. As you know, Ohio High Point serves 5 counties, 14 different school districts. We have over 530 students at our main campus in Bell Fountain, and we serve another 3,400 students a week in satellite programs like mm-hmm. we do here in Marysville. And we're looking to expand that. We have concepts that we're talking about with Mrs. Macon about expanding some other programs here in the next couple of years. And that's because the job market is requiring that of us. They're asking for us to come up with more students ready for the career. It doesn't matter whether it's healthcare, automotive, manufacturing, even cosmetology. It's one of our most packed programs, and all those kids find jobs. And I know that Great Clips is petitioning the state to try to get them to have cosmetology schools inside their mm-hmm. programs. And so in every field, we see a need to change how we're teaching. Just like we're giving people choices and hands-on experiences, you're mm-hmm. you're training them for us to come up into that idea. Mm-hmm. We also are looking at how we might meet the needs of tomorrow, and that's going to require a lot of technology. And so based on that, the board's evaluated our whole situation, and we're going to place a 0.6 mil permanent improvement levy on the ballot in May. Because we're in a 43-year-old building that needs the technology upgrades to meet the job demands. We need to renovate it, and we need to expand so we can expand programs. We're starting a new manufacturing program called Applied Manufacturing, along with smart technologies for the mm-hmm. autonomous vehicles that are coming. And we have 3 classrooms set aside for that today, and a new lab that we've invested $700,000 in renovations and $600,000 in equipment from the Sloan Foundation. And that 1.3 won't get it. That we can expand that class to 4 or 5 different sections mm-hmm. as this area grows with that type of training and needs coming about. And so we know that renovating a building like that is going to be a $30+ million project for us to renovate and expand what we need to do. So we can't do it just on the funds that we have alone, even though we've already invested about $1.8 million in renovations of our Animal Tech, of the Sloan Technology Center, those type of things that we've already kind of started. And so that's why we're putting it on the levy as a permanent improvement levy as well. Our last levy was in 1977. So we haven't asked for money in 40 years. We operate on the same 2 mils today. The levy history was in 72, they passed a 2.8 mil levy to build the building and to operate it. That 5-year levy came in up in 77, they reduced it to 2 mils just for operating. That's what we've been operating on since 1977. And so we feel like we've been prudent and good with the taxpayers' money, and a permanent improvement continuous levy would help us for the next 40 years. We are going out in May and hoping to stay off the ballots of most of our districts. Right now, of the 14, I think we'll hit 2 in case other people tell us they're changing their minds. But right now, we have 2 districts that we're going to hit, and we don't want to be on there for your renewals or your new things every 5-10 years. And so at doing it this level, we hope our story says we've been prudent, and it's a modest amount. It's $22 a year for a $100,000 home, which is about $1.84 a month, probably for the average homeowner in a place like Marysville will be somewhere around that Starbucks coffee, that $5 a month or something in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so that money goes a long way, like I said, and even part of not just renovating the Bell Fountain campus, a quarter of that money is coming back into satellites. So mm-hmm. by you guys know a permanent improvement levy, you can mm-hmm. do it for equipment and for those type of things. And so we know that the satellites that we have, which currently right now sits at 56 programs, will probably be moving to over 64 to 65 by 2020. Mm-hmm. But there's a rotation of equipment that's going to have to stay on top of that for industry standards. So we're setting at least $300,000 aside a year for that kind of equipment rotation in the process. This levy will generate somewhere between $1.8 and $2 million once the auditor certifies that amount. But we just want to make sure all of our 14 partners understand why we're going out and what we're doing and be able to answer any questions they might have about that process.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate you coming here and sharing this information with all of us. I know I think most of us have been out there to your facilities, and obviously we've been to our early college high school to see the, you know, some of the programs that, that you guys help us out with there. So
and FFA,
FFA. Oh, right, exactly, yeah.
And we're changing the all-board banquet this year. So
okay,
we
yeah,
we won't have the all-board banquet in February like we typically have had with a dinner. We're going to do an appetizer and a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new Dr. Sloan Technology Center. Okay. So you'll get to come see the students and see the equipment probably late February, early March, as soon as we get a construction completion date.
Okay.
And so once we get that, then we'll send out the invitations and hopefully you can come and be a part. And we're going to invite also township trustees and politicians and a lot of other people that evening to kind of come. And we will probably be the first career center in the state of Ohio working in the autonomous vehicle field.
Nice. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah. And Mr. Tivington, I don't know, did you want to add anything for your report? Or?
No, I think
I hope
everybody's got a report, so
thank
you for your time.
Okay, thank you for being here.
All awards banquet, but you stole my
thunder. Okay, I know, because I know, I think it, you had originally had something in there about February 7th, but we need to cross that one off. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Smith.
Okay, next up, Superintendent Report.
Ms. Great. Vegas. I have a couple items to talk about. First, we'll talk about the stadium project. So we started some early conversations with a design review committee to kind of look at the original architectural plan and give suggestions. And, you know, we've had the conceptual rendering for some time, so it's about making that a more actionable, realistic stadium project. So that is happening currently, and really balancing out the bigger your bleachers are, the more bathrooms you have to have, right? Because it's the capacity issue, and making sure we have all of those pieces in complete alignment as we would move down that avenue. So that's in the works. Also, obviously we're not there tonight, but tonight we are being honored at the Hope Center dinner. So Jonathan is there tonight with Ashley representing us. And I know Dick is going tomorrow night and Ashley will be there again, but they are recognizing us as being a partner. And Ashley will be speaking on behalf of the partnership between Tri Academy and the Hope Center, which has gone very, very well. I hope you read Ashley's building notes about the progress of the students.
Yes.
I can't remember the number, 124 maybe plus credits and students that are finishing, and she has students on a wait list who are now going to be able to come in. So really providing an amazing opportunity for some of our at-risk and struggling learners. So I was super excited for that team because I think it was enlightening for them to see that data come to life because some days seem a little long, but certainly very pleased with the progress and the work happening.
If I kind of interrupt you a little bit.
Sure.
I was really impressed. They started out with 61 students and a couple have had difficulty in getting to school. But these are the kids that have the most difficulties in life, most difficulties. And so they ended up, I think, with 55 out of 57 students really excelling.
Yes.
And but I was surprised that those that were coming a half day typically performed and were able to accomplish more than those that came a full day. I would have thought it might have been the reverse. But that, I think, speaks to you have an idea, you try it, you then gather data on what you've done, and then make mid-course corrections. And, you know, having this school in operation for about 3.5-4 months at this point, it's really exciting. I'm looking forward to the visit tomorrow.
So. Sure. We were able to write a couple letters for students that are going on to the military, since we don't do a winter graduation, certifying that they had met. So just the opportunity, kind of like Dr. Smith said, it's really about the end game of a career. Your path to get there could be completely different than the person you're sitting next to. And so it's just another example of great things happening. And I think Ashley and her team felt just as you did. Wow, these kids need more. We're going to have them here all day. And they were not as successful in that model. So,
I would think that it's, again, the personalized learning, that not every child, not every student is going to perform well in that half day, that there will be some that will actually perform better with a longer day.
There are some that I think will still do that, but for the most, there'll be a shift. Yeah.
And I just wanted to do the shout-out, too. I thought it was really interesting that she commented how some of the students were interested in the Avalon project uptown, with renovating the theater, and they're actually going to have Liz Mosser, who's kind of coordinating that whole program, is going to come and talk to the students and give them a design challenge to help with the marketing, and I thought it's just another example of part of our strategic plan, those community partnerships and engagement with the students and figuring out, what does excite them, because that's really the key to education. Sure. So,
and Ashley's been able to do some things with the health department to provide some services for our students with vaccines and things like that. So she's really engaged the concept of connecting the whole student and our whole community partnering. And certainly the community has been amazingly supportive and recognize the need for these students. So we're really happy with the progress there. Definitely the right team of leaders working. I don't think when you walk in, Ashley looks like the principal, but just a team of leaders, and that's amazing. Also wanted to let you know that Todd and I met with the co-chairs for the Renewal Levy Committee. As you know, that will be on in November. The two chairs will be Chris Schmank and Jared Weiss. We have another meeting scheduled with them next week, I believe. And then our larger group, or that central committee that we've had in the past, will kick off in January in preparation for that November renewal ask. So things are kind of in the works. The calendar's been built. Initial connections have been made with people who have helped with the campaign previously. And so that we're kicking that off currently.
Okay. Yeah, because I know we had. Well, I'm trying to think back. When did our finance committee meet?
September.
So it was really back in September that we kind of first started having these conversations about what that renewal was going to look like. And
I know Todd's going to talk about that a little bit in
good.
His part.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, because I know he sent out a nice levy fact sheet for us. I thought it's always helpful for us to have all that information.
I just wanted to let you know
sure
that timing. Chris certainly has helped us in previous years. And Jared is actually newer to the district and is very strong in the marketing communication side. So I think they'll be a great complement in putting things together.
We actually found Jared at a community coffee. So
one
of the benefits of the community coffee came and said, I'd like to be involved. And so look what's happened. Be careful what you ask for. Okay, Treasurer's Report.
Okay, so we're still a year away from the levy, but I think there's already been some discussion regarding the idea of taking this renewal levy and turning it into a continuing levy. I know at our previous meeting I'd kind of given maybe a 10,000 foot level as to why we should turn this into a continuing levy. So I think this just a few short slides really simplified to put it down to an individual. Level as to why we want to put this to a continuing levy. and, you know, as why me, as myself, as a taxpayer in the district, why I want this to stay as a continuing levy, because go to a continuing levy, because I don't like increased taxes as well. This is something that will actually protect our tax rate. So the first, let's try to get out of everybody's way. So the first reason that we talked about is the tax burden shift. Okay, so what we're saying there is this renewal levy is a voted rate of 6.56 mils. All the way back into 1989, when it was passed, it's 6.56 mils. When this is on the ballot next November, it's going to say 6.56 mils. That's not what we're paying off of. Because of valuation increases in the district, you're paying a lower effective rate. So as a residential taxpayer, I'm paying 2.691 mils on that levy. So even though it says it's a 6.56, that's the voted rate. What I'm paying is 2.691 mils, the same thing you're paying. Our commercial taxpayers are actually paying 6.3 mils, okay? So as a resident, we're actually, you can look at it as we're getting a discount compared to what the commercial taxpayers are paying. Now this graph kind of takes into account or just assumes that nobody wants to go back to the cuts that we had in 2012. So if this levy were to expire, I don't think any person really wants to cut $3.2 million. That's what this levy generates. Okay, so if this levy were to expire, to generate $3.2 million, we would have to pass a 4-mil levy. Okay, we can't pass a levy that says commercial taxpayers pay one rate and our residential taxpayers pay another. Everybody would have to pay the same rate. So that means, whereas right now you're paying 2.691 mils, if we were to have to pass a new levy, that levy would be 4 mils. Mm-hmm. Okay, so each of these levies is generating the same amount. They're each generating $3.2 million for the school district. But with the current levy, you're paying $165 a year if you have a $200,000 home. With a replacement levy to generate the exact same amount of money for the school, you'd now be paying $245 a year. So an increase of $80 just due to that tax burden shift. Mm-hmm. Okay? Any questions on that side? So the next reason why we want this levy to be turned into continuing so that we don't, you know, take advantage and make sure we protect that tax rate is the 10% rollback reimbursement. So basically on this current levy, basically the state is paying 10% of it for you. Okay, that's the 10% of that is, it's called the rollback reimbursement. About 4 years ago, the state changed that rollback reimbursement. So any new levies, the 10% rollback reimbursement will not be in existence. Okay, due to the fact that this levy was voted back in 1989, if we continue this levy, we will maintain that rollback reimbursement as long as the state government doesn't change that. So again, right now, on this, if you had a $200,000 home value with the rollback reimbursement, you'd be paying $245 on a 4-mil levy. If the rollback reimbursement were taken away because we had to replace the levy, you'd actually be paying $273 a year. So there's an increase of $28. So the combined impact of those two factors, you have the tax burden shift and the loss of the rollback, is a combined impact of $108 more per year that you would have to pay as a residential taxpayer. And again, you're paying that additional $108 to generate the exact same amount of money for the school. So it's really common sense. I think it's going to be our job to make sure every community member understands this. You know, people have their reasons for voting yes for a school levy. People have their reasons for voting no for a school levy. There's no reason not to vote yes for this levy in particular, because it really, passing it will protect the tax rate and make sure that you're not paying more to generate the same amount of money. Any questions?
All right. And one of the questions raised was keeping it a 5-year renewal or making it continue. Mm-hmm. And if it were to stay a 5-year renewal, then every 5 years we would be at risk of ending up with tax shift occurring and losing that rollback. Mm-hmm. By making it a continuing, then we lock in that rollback forever.
Correct.
Unless the state changes the law
right.
on that. And we also maintain the difference in the rate that commercial pays and the
residential
the homeowner pays. Is that do
exactly.
I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's my thinking is we would like to lock that in and just take away any chance of losing the benefit of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we're paying that 2.691 mils as opposed to the 6.56 is because of value increases in Union County. Mm-hmm. By the time we go to vote for this, it's a good chance that it'll even be less than that. You know, mm-hmm. it's likely that the values will continue to increase at least for the next couple of years. So it'll probably be even a lower effective rate than that. So that 165, that number may even be less.
Mm-hmm. Because when values go up, mileage goes
right,
down.
The effective mileage goes down. Mm-hmm. Because it always has to bring in that same amount, that same dollar amount. So, I get, you know, it just makes me think, too, you know, we're in a district, and you look at the surrounding area, the odds that our district is going to get smaller or that our budget's going to go down is pretty slim, you know. So, I mean, I look at this as something, it was passed back in 1989. We know we're going to continue to need this money, you know, so that if you were in a community where things were shrinking, well, maybe you might want to consider it, but when you know things are growing, you know that. And then I guess the other comment, people will say that, you know, it's important for the voters to have a voice. And when I hear that, I'm like, I'm not sure that voting no on a levy is the best way to have the kind of impact that you would want to have on a school district. I mean, I think we're always here to listen, and if somebody has a question or they have concerns, we do want to hear them, but voting no on a levy sometimes can hurt the people that you really want to help the most, which is our students. You know, I mean, by
well,
giving
voting
them
no on
to
this
have
levy would
well,
it
would
hurt
everybody.
Community.
Right. Other yeah. than the businesses, right? Right. The businesses, businesses would say, oh, we like this because it's going to even out the burden.
Well, to that same point,
right.
I don't know what that voice is saying when Marysville already has one of the lowest effective millage rates
yes.
in entire Central Ohio.
Right.
Right. Right. And if you look at our historical expenses, if you look at our five-year forecast, you know, our expenses have stayed incredibly flat. And, you know, I mean, I think we've done a good job. I think you've done a good job of budgeting and using the money wisely. So.
And, you know, Todd, you put together and it's so simple for people, and that's what I think that we have to let people know is that we are actually saving them money by making it a continuing levy. And I think that once the community knows that, who doesn't want to save money? I mean, so if they vote no on it, it's a lot more than just a levy situation.
Yep.
So I think because of how you simplify things, I think it's going to be very easy for the community to see that our interest is also keeping their taxes down.
And our finance committee was very supportive of that idea, too.
Could you open the outside door?
Yeah.
I was trying to get in.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you.
And thank you. That's very,
now,
very...
One last thing. Those are per year. Is
right.
that correct?
On a
that's per year if you have a $200,000 home.
Okay.
Right.
And so if a person was paying a mortgage and they were paying their taxes as a part of their mortgage, their monthly would be that figure divided by 12.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And Todd, did you have a few more things that...
Nope, that's it.
That was it? Okay. All right, then next up, I've got my board president's report. Let's see, this last month, all sorts of things. First, I would like to congratulate our three board members who were reelected earlier this month. We're happy to continue to work with you. So, congrats.
Sure.
And then, let's see, lots of things happened. Our Hispanic, we had the first Hispanic Cultural Night on November 16th from 5 to 8. And I know the Spanish teachers were a little nervous. They felt like they hadn't sold a lot of tickets. And then I think Nan was there, and I showed up, and they had a pretty packed house and a lot of neat things going on. I think the students had a lot of fun, and that's it's a good, another nice event out at our high school. Tri-Academy that we were just talking about, they had their first art show. Again, just an amazing event. A lot of parents there. The students were so excited. The parents were so proud. So that was wonderful to see. I also, I'm the liaison for Edgewood, and they had their wax museum down at Partners Park earlier this month on
that
a Friday.
Cute.
I know, it was wonderful that
gosh.
They had that whole grassy area lined with students that have researched a Ohio person, and then they pretend like them, that they are the Ohio person, and they dress up, and they have their little dot in front of them. You press on the dot, and they recite their little bio about them, about the person that they've researched. And then you all have your invitations to the Thanksgiving feast that Bunsold had last week. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to go to that the past couple of years. And that's the, I think the, what department is hosting that? Kind of
the MD.
So the MD department hosts that. And again, just a delightful time to spend with them and their teachers and aides. And finally, last night I had the joy of attending an event at the library. Thank you for hosting that. But our FFA parliamentary procedure team did a demonstration of their competition parliamentary procedure, and it is a 12-minute meeting that went, I mean, it was crazy how fast they were going and all sorts of different motions flying, and it was okay. It was really entertaining, and they are competing tonight at regionals, so we wish them well. Let's see, Chamber, up the report from the Chamber of Commerce this last month, they had a Leadership Institute report, and I know our school district has been a big supporter of this program. Bob Whitman is the coordinator of that, but they've had over 308 graduates over the past 13 years, and I counted through there, we have 10 graduates from our school district. And it's just, it's a great program. It's another way to kind of be a partner in our community and put some heads together and come up with some good ideas. Let's see. I think, Dick, you're probably going to talk about the Inside Out initiative a little bit. Capital Conference, that was just last, or whatever, November 13th and 14th. Dick and Brian and Nan and I attended. Amy is not able to attend due to her work schedule, but did ask people to kind of do a little recap of the sessions that they attended. And I'm going to actually, I'll email something out to you, because a couple of mine, they did have some recommended reading items in there. So I don't really want to go into a lot of detail now, other than to say that I think we all have found this to be true, that when we go to these sessions, a lot of times we are hearing people present about things that have already been going on in our district, and it just kind of reinforces that I think we're on the right path and we're doing great things. So that's kind of my takeaway from that. But like I said, I'll email mine out to you, and if anybody wants to make a quick comment right now about anything.
You mentioned the
Inside Out initiative.
Out.
Yes.
If you want to go ahead and talk about that, or
I mean, just briefly, yeah.
The Inside Out is an initiative from the Ohio High School Athletic Association, and from their perspective, there has been a shift in the culture of athletics in the state, particularly the high school level, where winning has become more of a focus, and this is an attempt to kind of reset the culture a little bit. In short, the Inside Out is to ask, why are you having an athletic program? What is your purpose? And work outwards toward the what it is that you're wanting to do. They concluded with the statement that winning is our goal, but our goal is not our purpose. Our purpose is to develop strong, good young men and women of character. And so it's kind of the reverse, the inside out. You focus on your purpose, building and offering the opportunity for young men and women to become better citizens in our community, and you then build toward the goal of winning the athletic competition. I mentioned to Diane that I think that many of our teams and athletic programs are already setting themselves in that model, I would encourage that we continue to move in that direction.
Thank you. Hey, finally, just kind of a reminder that we have, because we've moved our November meeting to the very end of the month, we've canceled our December regular meeting. So our next regularly scheduled meeting would be our organizational meeting on January 8th at 5:30. That's at the board office. And then January is also our mid-year review for our superintendent and treasurer. So I was wanted to ask if you would consider maybe doing one of the reviews at the organizational on the organizational meeting night, and the other review at our regular January meeting. So it seems like we've struggled a little bit to try and fit in two reviews during one meeting. So if that's the case, normally that organizational meeting takes about 15 minutes, but you'd have to block off maybe an hour and a half or something.
Okay.
I think we'll go that direction then.
Okay.
5:30 on January. 5:30 January 8th.
And then we'll do the
That's a Monday
review after.
Yes. Yep. We do the review after that.
Okay.
And then we'll do the review probably before the January regular meeting once we know for sure what date that will be. So I guess since our next meeting is going to be the organizational meeting, I would also ask that you look over our building liaison if we want to make any changes there. I know Brian had brought up the fact that with Tri Academy opening mid-year of kind of our year, we really don't have anybody assigned there, which might not be a bad thing when they're just trying to get off the ground. Take a look at those and double check the calendar for meeting times, things like that. So a little homework for you. And that's all I've got. So next is the legislative report.
Last month, it's been a little busy. I had an opportunity to have lunch with Pat Szymanski, who sits on the ELIDA school board, and he and I are partnered in Jeff Jordan's congressional district, and so we met to kind of review the National School Board Association legislative issues, and we also took time to discuss state and local issues and try to coordinate a little bit where we are in terms of some of the things that are taking place on the political side of education. Diane and I had an opportunity to participate in a couple of meetings at the Department of Education on College Credit Plus, and some rules changes have been proposed and are likely to go into effect unchanged for next year. The key changes are that rather than opening up the entire college catalog for students, they will need to take 15 hours in what I might call the basic core courses, social studies, math, science, English. The first 15 hours cannot include one-on-one private instruction, study abroad courses. I don't think anybody actually did that, but we have one university has a campus in Germany, physical education courses, courses that have adult content. Ohio State had a sociology class in beer and wine, and they had a 19-year-old that was enrolled, high school student that was enrolled in that class.
Not for Mary's,
though. Not for Mary's. Courses will need to be a semester in length unless the course is taught at a longer period on the college campus. It cannot be a pass-fail or remedial, which was the question that, mm-hmm. that you had. The other topic that we looked at was underperforming students, students who take college credit plus courses and get a D or an F. And fortunately, there's a small percentage of students that really fall into this category. So it's not something that affects large numbers of students, but it's a problem because the current law said that students could sign up and take classes, but you know, they didn't pass, it was no big deal, they could sign up and take more. And somebody thought that maybe that was not appropriate. So there will now be two kind of classifications, underperforming students and ineligible students. And every student will have an opportunity to sign up and get into College Credit Plus if they can demonstrate that they're ready for college-level work. An underperforming student is one that has less than a 2.0 grade point average or withdraws or receives no credit in two or more classes. An ineligible student is one who meets the definition of an underperforming student for two consecutive terms of enrollment. Now, when a student is underperforming, they will be restricted to one class. If they are ineligible, they will not be able to enroll in College Credit Plus for one semester. But they can then apply, and if I understand it correctly, they would then become an underperforming student, probationary student, for one semester, demonstrating that they now have reached proficiency. One of the things that was discussed was in this program, there is determining the eligibility, and there's also acceptance at the college level. And I pushed for the high school's principals and guidance counselors to be able to determine which of our students would be eligible. And then once we decided who was eligible, then the college could decide whether they wanted to accept them or not. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that seems to have gotten written into the rules. And so I was very happy about that. I had a two-hour conversation with Senator Dave Burke. We talked about this. He was surprised that students had taken Pilates. He said he didn't vote for students to be able to do that. His vision of this was different. And he was really pleased that there were some changes. We talked about a number of other things. I mentioned last month, House Bill 200. This is a proposal that would eliminate the three existing voucher programs in the state of Ohio and replace it with a statewide voucher program. It also changes from targeting students that live in underperforming school districts and makes it income-based in every household in the state. And as currently written, unless it's been changed the last week, any household that had an income under 400% of the poverty level, which was just under $100,000 a year, would qualify. And so about 70% of households in the state would qualify to receive vouchers to go to non-public schools. Talked with Dorothy Palanda. She suggested I talk to Kyle Kohler, who was the person that wrote this, and is the chief sponsor. So he and I had a half-hour conversation. And I explained to him I don't like vouchers in the first place. I think state tax money ought to go to public education. I did send him a letter, and I can give you copies if you'd like to read that. But made some suggestions. You know, if the legislature was absolutely intent on handing out vouchers, The one example of the modification was to his original proposal was for a voucher to be as high as $7,500 per student. State Foundation this year is $6,010 a year. And I suggested that he lower the voucher to the State Foundation amount, mm-hmm. and then offer to the school district of residence for the student. If a student left with a voucher, that school district would get $1,500 to help maintain a seat for that student if they ever decide to come back. I pointed out in the letter that we have never had, nor will we ever have, 30 students in the third grade all decide that they're going to pack up and go to a private school, and that our cost of operation for 25 students or for 24 students is exactly the same or almost exactly the same to the penny as 25 students. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we have a single student that leaves a classroom, it doesn't change what our costs are. And the $1,500 is not, you know, the full amount, but it would help to offset some of the expenses that we have in maintaining. I also pointed out that we have to do remediation when many of those students come back to us. So,
how was that taken?
That's true.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard back from him since I sent it. I sent it to him and also sent it to Dorothy with my suggestion. So we will see. Peggy Lehner, in one meeting that I attended at Capitol Conference, says she was going to, and I think she has introduced a bill that would prohibit suspension for kids in K-3. And I checked with Diane, and it would have little or no impact on our district, as that's not typical. Mm-hmm. And has not been typical in this district before. There is one other bill that is being considered. It's Senate Bill 216, and it deals with a number of different issues. It consolidates all of the teaching licenses into two bands, K-8 and 6-12. Allows superintendents to waive the licensure requirements for teachers already holding a license. They need to have appropriate experience, so you can provide more flexibility for superintendents to move teachers around as needed by the district. It changes some things. We mentioned the teacher evaluation in OTES and OPERS, the principal evaluation, removes the student growth measure, maintains 30 as the subgroup size. It also eliminates the kindergarten readiness assessment. And then it has a couple of aspects of College Credit Plus. One is that it requires students to take a course at the high school if it's offered before taking a class on a college campus, and that textbook costs would be split between the district and the student except for the economically disadvantaged students. And so...
a lot of stuff in that one.
And I pared that way down.
Thank you.
That bill covers tons of stuff and I talked too long. Thank you very much for your patience.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a Safety and Drug Committee report?
That will not be... The meeting is not for 2 weeks. So.
Okay.
Mine's very short sleep.
Okay, thank you. Next up, I would entertain a motion to approve our minutes from our last meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
A second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments, corrections, edits? Nope. And a roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve Superintendent HR action items.
Treasurer action items.
Oops, sorry. I missed it. Sorry. Thank you. So next, we need a motion to approve the treasurer items. Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments?
Yeah, a couple items in there. We have the annual renewal of the Hope Center agreement. Everything's going well there. There's really not much change there. There's a minor adjustment to the rental agreement due to our use of the facility for the Tri Academy.
Is that going to be a year by year thing then? That part of it?
Yeah, I mean, because we just kind of made an agreement. It's probably been 3 or 4 months ago now to incorporate that. So I think it'll kind of be, since we only do an annual lease 1 year at a time, you know, I'm sure we'll revisit that next year and see how things are going.
Mm-hmm. Is there a new director now? I forget.
At the Hope Center?
I don't know if they've actually hired anyone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pastor Jess has
left, right.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Also, a couple donations I wanted to point out. One, Dave Bustamante donated $1,500 for our B teams at Bunsell Middle School. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of discussion trying to find a way to keep the B teams. And you know, I think you know Diane had a discussion with Dave that you know we had found a solution, and mm-hmm. you know, with or without his donation, we were going to be able to keep the B teams. But mm-hmm. he wanted to step up. He was a big supporter and still made the donation.
Now that's for the basketball.
Well, correct.
B teams in general is it just basketball?
That was basketball because really this is the season.
We have not approached the volleyball
conversation.
We'll do that at the end of the season to kind of get a better framework.
Okay.
And then also very good timing for our Mill Valley meeting. Mm-hmm. The Mill Valley PTO donated $6,800 worth of Chromebooks to Mill Valley Elementary.
Yes. Thank you. They must have sold a lot of something, right?
A lot of mumpkins.
Yeah, a lot of mumpkins are out there. Yeah. That's nice. Okay, any questions or comments, Ed? All right.
Just as nice... that we've been able to work with closely with the Hope Center, and things are working out really well. And mm-hmm. I think the financial arrangement between the two groups is on solid footing. And so,
good stuff. All right, roll call.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Now a motion to let's see. Motion to approve Superintendent HR action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call. Are there any questions?
Are we doing the one?
We're doing the first one with me. Yes, okay. I will be abstaining on this one. Mm-hmm. So, roll call.
I'm sorry, who in the motion?
Motion by Mrs. Powers and second by Ms. Savage.
Okay, sorry. Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
I abstain. And the motion carries. Thank you. Our next item now is to approve our superintendent items. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. We have several HR items on, as well as some of our kind of closing out the winter supplementals that we had to finish up, as well as some home instruction on there. We also have second read of policies that we had talked about last time. We have volunteers. It's always funny to me, it's December and we're still adding volunteers, but we are. And then also I sent you an email today about an agreement we've made with the Marysville MIT organization in which they will be using the Bunsell Middle School facilities in our off season. So we've been working on that for quite a little bit. And they'll be doing some investments. If you've been by already, the baseball team is put in a new infield, looks beautiful. So they'll be making some investments in that area and trade for the space, and basically. Mm-hmm.
Library.
Yes, and we also have library issue on. And I do not have that one pulled up on my computer. Do you have it right there?
Yes. Rebecca, Ms. Rebecca, you put underline down there.
We have the library board. Remember, we do this every year, mm-hmm. but it's Rebecca Weaver again, right?
The reappointment,
yes. Yes, yes.
Okay. And it takes, do you want to add before I talk?
So our library board is 7 members. Each member, the term is 7 years. They are eligible for 2 full terms, and Becky is actually... This will be her 2nd full term, but she actually filled out the end of somebody else's. So oh. I think she's on her 9th or 10th year on the board.
Okay. All right. Okay. Any comments, questions?
We also have a tennis court.
Oh, yes, the resolution for the
tennis
court.
So as we've talked a couple of times, we were not satisfied with some of the repair work that was done. We've had some... issues with things coming up through so the foundation. So at the completion of the boys season in the spring, we will basically be redoing that entire area. So you're being asked to make approve
that,
that
resolution.
Then,
okay.
Yeah,
and that was part of the PI forecast, and actually the bid came in. I think it was about $22,000 less.
Oh,
than
nice.
What we had anticipated, so that was a good surprise.
All right. Okay. Yeah, because I know with the athletic fields and so forth, I think it's important for people to recognize that we're not forgetting about the other sports and the other facilities that right. the district has.
Yeah, and to be honest, as you know, I met with the athletic booster some time ago, yeah. and they kind of gave a list of priorities, which we're kind of knocking off at this point. And tennis courts were on there, as well as the track, which has brought us to this larger project. So the repair work, we weren't satisfied.
Right.
And so we'll be moving forward with redoing them completely.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to... Nisa, please extend our thanks to Rebecca for being willing to serve another 7 years after serving 9 years. So that's a pretty long commitment.
8 or 9.
Yeah, no, we appreciate
you.
That. Sure.
We will all be very relieved to hear it.
Good, good. And yes, as you pointed, it's a second read on a lot of those policies, and so I know those are all they're pretty legislatively related to that sort.
There's the business council.
Right.
So in December, I have a meeting at the ESC. I think Jonathan chaired last
okay,
meeting.
Good.
So I think it's December 13th. I can't remember the date. There's about 6 superintendents meeting with Tom Goodney. And really, this larger regional impact, which is reflective in some of the pathways we started in the district, like
right.
the business and insurance and engineering pathways and et cetera. So... we already have an established partnership through Columbus State and many large corporations through the pathways. And so we'll be looking to use that to inform districts. So we're taking a regional approach at the workforce development issues
yeah.
in the
mm-hmm.
in the
Basically,
area.
Yeah, okay.
And we've been very involved with industry and partnerships.
Sure.
And this particular policy just requires a little more formalization of some of the things that
Correct.
We've
mm-hmm.
already been doing. And I really think the regional approach, looking beyond our school district and the businesses just located here, looking beyond that, not discounting those local businesses, but looking beyond it, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we
yeah.
feel we
Makes
just
a
have
sense.
A lot of leverage when lots of school districts yeah. come together and mm-hmm. lots of businesses come together. So
yeah.
it creates a good opportunity, I think, for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. So now we are at the comments and questions from board members. So, Mr. Smith?
I had some things to put down, bring up. Tri Academy, I've already talked about it. I think mm-hmm. it's just tremendous success that we're seeing there. And very grateful for all the good work that's being done there. And going back to even the idea of doing things, trying to help those in our school that need maybe some extra help. Talked about Inside Out. Raymond Elementary had donuts with dads, and that was, the school was packed. they coordinated that with the Veterans Day, and they had a fantastic program. Principal came out talking about giving kids the voice. Principal came out, said, okay, everybody settle down, handed the microphone to the kids, and the kids ran the whole program. And did all the introductions and did all sorts of audio visuals, and it was just fantastic. Place was packed. It was really exciting. And it was mentioned about the invitations, and I got an invitation for Thanksgiving feast from Billy in the Bunsold Library, and so I went and met Billy and had lunch with him. Found out he doesn't like turkey. He likes ham. And so he didn't eat any turkey, but he didn't have any problem with the desserts.
And there were plenty of desserts there, weren't there? There were loads of desserts.
He was right on target with that. So anyway, congratulations to my partners on the board. Glad to be working with you for more time. And thank you very much for hosting us today. Mm-hmm. This was great. So, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mrs. McLean, for hosting us. Really appreciate it. Nice presentation, as always. Also want to do a quick shout-out about the Hispanic Cultural Night. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a really nice job, and, you know, this is their first time doing it, and I think I saw them kind of actively kind of looking at things that they maybe want to, you know, change or mm-hmm. improve or do differently next time. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed with all the young people that were there and participating in the event. So Capital Conference was a very, very good educational experience once again. I think that's really valuable. And the Economic 411 conference mm-hmm. is tomorrow, so I'll be going down to OSU. So you listen to that. It's a great opportunity here, economic development wise, what's going on with the Central Ohio region. And last year, Union County played a very, very kind of pivotal role in economic development for the Central Ohio region. So. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mr. Howard?
Thank you, Amy, for hosting us. And I'm really glad I found out about the Lucky Charms, so that'll be an added. You won't live that one down. I will have that. We'll have it on a picture of that.
That's right.
Or should I say that Don won't live that down.
That's right.
And congratulations, board members. Glad to have you on board again, and looking forward to another good year. That's it.
Thank you, and thanks for hosting us again. It's always great to be here and to hear what you're doing with the, you know, your educational efforts, and really appreciate that. I do have an event tomorrow. Are you going to that, Nan, at the Early College High School?
No.
Oh, okay. So we have an event at the Early College High School in the morning. It's I'm not sure which department sponsored it.
It's an extra kind of extracurricular within the social studies.
So they do a project where they get do some research and try to get involved in a social issue, and then we go around and make comments and try to build them up rather than tear them down. At least that's what I do, Dave.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
No, nothing to add.
No, I just say we wrapped up some data meetings today for this month, and. I would just say that Mrs. McGlenn and her building are absolutely on target and doing great work. Mm-hmm. The growth that Amy has shown over the past couple years has just been exemplar, really, and mm-hmm. Could not be more pleased with her leadership and direction and laser-like focus for the kids in Mill Valley. I think she was disappointed last year, and she's not going to be disappointed this year. She's made that very clear. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be more proud of the work that's coming out of here. So, you know, this was just a small example of this larger commitment that the staff has made to the progression of kids in this building.
Mm-hmm.
good work.
Well, Amy, once I better make it complete here. So thank you as well. Thank you, Kathy. And also, thank you for our guests that are here today. We have a student from Rhodes State with her brother. And we have some Marysville alumni that are just here to see what's happening in our district, I think. I don't know. But we're happy to have you all here. Also, since we are not going to have a meeting before Christmas, an early Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes.
And let's see. Oh, and we didn't really talk about the Momentum Award, did we? At all?
I feel like I've sent it out.
Well, I know, but that's so like kind of a congratulations.
So
yeah.
Mill Valley was a recipient this year for the second time, right? So super impressed. The district again was awarded. We're only one out of 65 school districts in the state that were awarded. And really that recognizes us for our growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've heard me say over and over again, that's what we're going to be most proud of. That is the factor that eliminates all other barriers. It takes away socioeconomics. It takes away all of those pieces that can play into achievement scores.
Mm-hmm.
And just once again, quite honestly, our staff knocked it out of the park with A's across the board and moving all groups of kids forward from where they are to the next level. So, and actually exceeding a C is expected growth.
Mm-hmm.
As we've talked, at the Mankins household, you get grounded for a C. That's not okay. but for the state, that's the expected area, and we've far exceeded that with getting an A across the board. So super, super proud of that.
Well, and we're proud of all the work that happens everywhere. So, I mean, it was just pretty clear when you see these presentations. It's the focus on the students, but understanding that if we don't take care of their professional development for our staff, then it's not going to happen with our students. So we appreciate all the extra efforts that you put into that. So, oh, and I guess one other thing, I know Nan and I are scheduled to visit Bluebird on Monday. So thank you, Mr. Smith. He's been working hard to set up, give us some opportunities to just go and have conversations and hear if there are questions and share some good information about our district. So
those thus far, I think we've hit just about every retirement community in
right.
town. And they have been really fun.
Yeah, it's nice.
I would also just add one thing. January, sure. February-ish, we will have completed a report to the community on our strategic plan. So we took our strategic plan and then we're going to give, for lack of a better word, a progress report to everyone on where we are in different areas, what our metrics are for measuring, you know, what needs to happen next, et cetera. So that should go to all households in January, February timeframe.
Okay.
Sure. So.
And that was kind of a result of when we worked on our strategic plan and we wanted to have kind of some bullet points and
you
kind of took
it
and
yeah,
right, we'll get a condensed version.
Yeah. There'll be a executive summary that will be for that purpose.
Right.
But then a larger flyer that will go out. Traditionally, we've done the quality profile, kind of highlighting
right.
the other things we do beyond academics. So
right.
Certainly celebrated show choir and different mm-hmm. student groups and partnerships and things of that nature. But we thought it was probably a good time to take a look. We look at it every year, but to give that more focused look to our community about where we are mm-hmm. In the strategic plan.
Okay. Great. Okay. So I would now accept a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Into executive session.
Oops, adjourn into executive session. Thank you. That was a long time ago. I've already forgotten. So, yes, how about a motion to move into executive session? Both
so
motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Nan. And roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. So the motion carries, and we are in executive session at 8:34. And there will be no votes after executive session.